The best in audio entertainment and healthful, happy mind expansion. This is the midweek drive for sirenonline.co.uk and southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
He said it's very confusing there. Right, okay, there we are. There's three mistakes made in the space of 32 seconds. Cameron, I presume you are there as opposed to being burst into the news. Unforced errors, I refer to them as. We'll get it all sorted out. It's been a day of Inspired On Air and a double helping of Nick Elliott's The Sound and Nick's Vision show. Incidentally, he's still keen to talk about syndication. So, Nick, you know, you need to speak to Cameron. Cameron, speak to Nick, and then magical things will doubtless happen. Yep. Volume 9, Volume 10, absolutely splendid. The Stone Tape's still to come. And Cameron, you are there in Nashville, are you not?
I am in Nashville, yes I am.
Oh, good. Because Patricia, of course, you came from Nashville originally, did you not?
Well, Dallas, close enough.
Dallas, Texas. Listen, we're here for a very important thing. We have all got to say happy birthday to Jolia Tilbury, Cameron's wife. So a one, two, three.
Yes. Happy birthday!
Jolia Tilbury! Yay!
There you go. Yeah.
Or was it yesterday? I don't know. The times have just shifted by so often.
That's a good country name, isn't it, Jolia?
Yes, David, it
is.
Well, hence, David Jolia Howe. You know, it's nationally put together.
Could be. My secret is out.
We know the whole thing. We've never seen you together in the same room as Jolia Tilbury. True. It's the interdimensional travel that works too. That's the critical thing. On the show today, we have got, obviously, good self, Cameron, introducing another classic. Plus, of course, we've got the debut of Mo Pitney. Christy Bond's very excited about Mo Pitney. Anna Lewis will be joining us from Jersey. Arthur Weingarten will be talking about Hollywood stuff. Gwyneth Flanagan will be into cosplay. And Liz Brewer will be touching base with us around about 10 past 6, after which we'll be going to Emma Tinson. We were asked, actually, in the news Bates thing, what do we mean by the original text syndrome? Well, effectively, is there such a thing as originality? That's the sort of line of that. Oh, of course there is. Every time you listen to Cameron Tilbury's original Nashville slots, there's something to do with originality. Cameron, why have you brought along another classic for us on the programme today?
I think this young lady's going to do really big things. She's from Florida, kind of the redneck Riviera, and she makes regular trips here to Nashville. We first met each other back in June during CMA Music Festival, and I got to interview her for Young Country TV. And then we ran into each other a week ago at ASCAP's event that they had to promote some of their artists that are nominated for Country Music Awards. So we were there and hanging out, and I said, send me your single, we'll put it on the air and let everybody in the UK hear it. And she was just excited about that, so I'm really excited to feature her. Great video for this song, if you look for it. It's been playing on GIC here in the U.S., as well as Zeus. Now, I think you can find Zeus at ZUUS.com. I think you might be able to see it on there if you look for it. This is Jordan Stoddard and Like Me Till You Love Me on Siren FM.
She would like you to love me, as Jimmy Stewart once said in A Man Called Shenandoah. You gotta like somebody before you can actually love them, boy. Actually, he would have said it a lot slower than that, so I'm sorry, I'm not in a Jimmy Stewart channeling mode, Cameron, but the team, I think, quite liked that. But I don't want to preempt this. Eva McDonald, what did you make of Like Me Till You Love Me with Jordan Stoddard?
I liked it. It was a very smooth sound.
Smooth sound. Christy Bond.
Very, very sweet voice. Very sweet voice indeed.
Good. Sam Stone.
Hi, Cameron. I've just been looking on the internet at a picture of you with this lovely young lady, and she looks adorable.
Adorable.
And her voice really suits her, and I think she's going places, like you said.
Yeah. 11 a.m. Central. And David J. Hammond.
Yeah, I really like that as well, Cameron. Surprising for me, because I'm not a big country fan. I mean, I immediately said Carly Rae Jepsen. Very similar kind of voice, but no, very, very good track, like that.
Patricia H. Ash. The H stands for hottie.
It does now.
Yeah.
I really liked that. It was a very sort of a new country with a bit of old, good old country music with it too. So it was a really nice blend, and I really liked it. Can
thumbs
I,
up
can
there.
I have that.
Yeah, big thumbs up.
There we are. You see, victory in every sense of the word. Later on in the program, we'll be featuring a certain Lindsay Gold, as well as a whole range of other fantastic things there. But that'll be happening, as I say, in probably the second hour as we sort of deal with the excitement and such like. Because coming up very shortly, we have Mo Pitney. Would you like to actually pave the way, Cameron, for the debut of Mo Pitney on the Midweek Drive? What should the team expect? Because Christy's already bubbling over with anticipation.
Really cool. Mo Pitney, just to give you a bit of a background, if you go back to kind of the country music scene in the early 80s, it was really pop sounding, and everybody was kind of saying, well, this is the end of country music. And then out of that came guys like Randy Travis, Reba McEntire, George Strait. They all kind of came out of that with a new traditionalist sound, and Randy Travis kind of led the way, and it was with his sound, it was kind of, where is that coming from? And I think fast forward now with country music, you've got a lot of pop. And again, everybody's saying, you know, what's happening to country music? And then this guy appears, and his name is Mo Pitney. He debuted with a song called Country. And it's kind of had the same effect as Randy Travis had back in the 80s. Everybody's saying this guy's bringing back traditional country music again. We were really fortunate enough to interview him for Young Country Music or Young Country TV during CMA Music Fest. Really cool guy, great interview. And he said, my producer and I started talking about dogs with him. He breeds dogs. And Mo said, well, I've written this song and it's going to be on the album. And I defy anybody who's got a dog to not cry during this song. And he said, you know what, I'll come back and play it for you. Sure enough, the next day he just came back with his acoustic guitar, sat down and played the song for us, and we were all in tears because it was a great song.
Did the dog die, Cameron?
So it will be...
did the dog die? Or can he not say?
The album comes out soon. We're really looking forward to it. We've got three singles out now. And you're going to be playing them, and we're really looking forward to it.
It'll be wonderful.
Really lucky to have him. Really lucky to have him.
Well, yeah, there we are, and we'll be speaking to him in about 7 or 8 minutes from now. We still haven't found out whether the dog died or not, as the case may be. David Cassidy's, of course, Ricky's song. It was about a dead dog, but anyway, a dead dog called Ricky. This was the moment where, after last week's Fantastic Four debacle, I'll hold fire on that because let's be true to tradition. Christy, what are the last two questions for Cameron Tilbury?
Have you had a completely wonderful telephonic link with us today, Cameron?
Most excellent, yes. It's been wonderful.
And will you be joining us again next week?
We'll be back next week with a new song.
And this is the moment where, for me, the man from Uncle, with Guy Ritchie, of course, in full directorial reins, moved from being a good movie to a great movie.
You're on the phone. Don't you feel like a cry? Don't you feel like a cry? But here I am, honey. Come on, you cry to me. When you're all alone in your lonely room, and smell of her perfume. Don't you feel like a cry? Don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like a cry? Come on, come on, cry to me. Oh, nothing can be said.
And of course, the sequence is with Alicia Vikander dancing in the background with Armie Hammer as Ilya Kuryakin in, of course, the Guy Ritchie man from Uncle. Good news, Anna Lewis, in the island of Jersey, because your boy done good. Henry Cavill has managed to actually inhabit the role previously occupied by Robert Vaughan as Napoleon Solo, the man from Uncle, and in my opinion, I'd say, does it very well indeed. So he's sort of flying the Jersey flag, there's Henry Cavill, as of course he does quite literally as he's role as Superman. But there we are. So there we are. I mean, I'm not sure, but Man from Uncle, I wanted to just get that out there right now and say, it's good, it's all right, you can relax, you can breathe easily. It's, even though no cameos, no various other things.
Such
it's
a shame.
Exactly. Yeah, Fantastic Four, please don't get me started. Battle of the Flowers last week in Jersey, Anna. Have you managed to recover from that?
Well, the weather was dreadful. I mean, it did clear up in the afternoon, but the morning it was just miserable. Even today we've had rain and it's just overcast and horrid and everyone wishes they were somewhere different, like Tenerife or the Algarve.
But Tenerife and the Algarve are not Jersey. You know, they can't match on that whole thing. You know, you don't have the Tenerife wonders, do you? You don't have the Algarve wonders.
Yeah, but there might be something else. You never know. I'm sure somebody will find something to go, not to stay in Jersey for, rather than come all the way here just to pull their raincoats and their umbrellas out. It really has been going on for too long.
I'm now physically passing over, because let's face it, there's no other way to do it, a copy of The Island to David J. Howe, because now he's a secret Jersey fan.
Basically. Fantastic, I am.
In fact, the J in David J. Howe actually stands for Jersey.
Yes. I can see the theme emerging
so now,
here.
Exactly. You can see some of those highlights that Anna sent along recently, when, of course, she sent up the Jersey Wonders.
I was just going to say, you're just tormenting me here, because there's a note here, dear Alex, greetings from a very small and hope the Jersey Wonders aren't too stuffed. Yeah, and I've still not had one.
Next month, I'm sure
maybe
something will work.
Yeah, I'll dispatch some and make sure that they keep a bit fresher
getting,
than they
David and Sam are tying the knot formally and getting married in November. What better way is to have some Jersey Wonders?
Yeah.
October even.
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, this is really good. It's a great magazine.
See, lots of things there. Lots of stuff. And every so often, you know, the weather does get a bit inclement. Don't let it get you down. That's the important thing. So, you know, remember in the words of the great John of Lennon, we get a tan from standing in the English rain. Goo, 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 jump. That's the whole thing. Anything else happening this week in Jersey you want to sort of share with the team?
Not very much at the moment. It's still high tourist season, so we've had loads of people come and do their family history at the library. There's been an exhibition. There's a small island called Sark, which is diddly. I mean, it's a few hundred people live on Sark. No cars. They have an ambulance, which is a horse, a tractor-drawn sort of trailer thing. They have a very small prison that I think holds five prisoners. And Jersey's been celebrating its connection to Sark, because Sark was given to a number of Jerseymen who lived predominantly in the parish of St. Juan, which is the westerly, the most westerly and the most windswept parish of the island. And it was a feudal gift. So, you know, these families have been living there since, you know, since the war, whenever it was that King Charles I... well, King Charles II was proclaimed, which was 1650-something. So, yeah, they've got a long history of the people of St. Juan and Sark. But I would go to Sark on holiday because it is really, really pretty.
There we are.
Worked
our magic. Plug for Sark.
That's fantastic.
Anything immediately catch your eye there, David?
Absolutely.
Sam?
I mean, what's particularly caught my eye is Anna. We seem to have your... menu for the Lotus House Chinese restaurant. Other restaurants are available in Jersey.
Yes, there are. Yeah.
So,
how does it compare with where you are? Does it? I mean, we've always said that
a little bit cheaper.
A little
bit cheaper.
Right then, after show me, off to Jersey then.
Off to Jersey.
I can't believe that.
So, Anna, could you get us in five number twos, number 27,
some curry.
Do you want some curry? Yeah.
We'll put that order in. In fact, we can actually do that. I suppose the last two questions just order out.
There's 5% off collection. Unfortunately, the airfare to go and get it.
Oh, wonderful.
We'll get that sorted. Eva MacDonald, last two questions for Anna Lewis, please.
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have indeed. Thank you very much.
And will we be hearing again from you soon?
It would be good. Yeah, I'd like to. See, thank you.
Always an original text, despite the sun not necessarily shining all the time. Anna always does. There you go.
He fought for his country and died for his country. Yeah, I love my country. Let me tell you about country.
So wonderful. We play it regularly. It's Mo Pitney and Country, with a whole range of things there, as indeed eulogised by Cameron Tilbury, to the extent that we had to say, Cameron, can we possibly actually get this man on the show? Mo Pitney, has Cameron done the business? Are you indeed with us?
I'm with you.
Yay! And suddenly happiness breaks out in Lincoln, England, as opposed to Nebraska, where I'm sure happiness can work through if you're listening to this via sirenonline.co.uk. Mo, an urgent question sort of developed from the discussion we had with Cameron, and it all deals with dogs, okay, and doggies.
Okay.
And I had to ask the question, did the dog die, or is it still alive? Because it's critical that we actually know this.
Well, I tell people that the dog in that song is actually a mutt. It's a mutt of three different dogs that my co-writers and myself owned. I wrote the song with Dave Turnbull and Jimmy Melton, and they both had their special first dog that they loved. And I think that's part of Jimmy Melton's story, the dog in the beginning that we picked up on the side of the road. And then somewhere halfway through where the dog got hit by a car and took half of my savings to save her. That was actually my dog. Is a dog named Sammy who did pass away. It was a Boston Terrier. But that was a long time ago. I got that dog when I was 11, I think 11 or 12. And then Dave had the other, some of the other stories, you know. So all three of the dogs have passed away, actually, but they're dogs really far in the past, you know.
Let's think of them as up in doggy heaven, grooving out to the tunes of country. As indeed it says on the website, Mo, when Mo Pitney sings Let Me Tell You About Country in your debut single, you're doing more than telling, you're showing. Ooh, it's critical. Sorry.
Christine. Yeah, you know, I tell people that I sing about things that I know, things that I've lived through. I try not to sing about something that I can't show you, like you said. So
trips to Jupiter and Venus, probably not likely to be in your category in the near future. But, you know, it's
possible. I probably won't have songs that way, yeah.
I can't believe, Mo, that you actually were introduced to playing music by watching Johnny Cash at San Quentin. Surely you weren't an inmate. No, it's a little joke. It's a British
name. No, I actually was. I was not there. It's the record, actually, that influenced me. So wherever you got that information, somebody might have skewed it a little bit.
It's okay. I'm just joshing with you in a transatlantic English-American way. Don't worry. Christy, you were very keen.
I pretty much observed him by standing on my bed and listened to him, but I was playing along with him in my mind.
Well, you know, as long as you didn't step into the ring of fire, all's well with the world. That's the important thing. Christy.
I wanted to know, have you ever been asked before if you realise that you are quite a lot younger in your photos than you sound?
Ooh, steady on. You look so young.
Yeah.
In fact, Christy thought you were barely out of your 16th birthday, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Say that again.
Christy didn't think you were over 16 at one stage, you know, and then you suddenly got this...
Really? Yeah. I've gotten that a lot. I've had a lot of people, even at airports and stuff, when people look at my driver's license and see that I'm 23 now, a lot of people say that I didn't think you were that old.
23.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
hey,
outrageous.
I remember 23. And, I
remember and that so, 100 years ago.
But walking off stage a lot, I do get a lot of people that
say that my voice sounds a lot older than what I really am.
Well, it's either that or you've lived a lot of life. That's the important thing. Eva, questions from yourself.
Oh, I don't know. What shall I pick out?
Ooh, there's so many questions you could ask. His state of play, favourite colour underwear. We'll leave that with Eva to actually sort of cogitate on for a wee while. And let's move over to another fine citizen of America who's actually now living in England, and that, of course, is Patricia Ash. Patricia, questions or thoughts for our country star, Mo Pitney? No relation to Gene, by the way. We clarified that.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I just want to say that I think you sound the way a country music star should sound.
Well, I think that you could use that on your next album, couldn't you, actually, Mo? You know,
sounds well, thank you.
Like a country star should sound. Patricia H. Ash. H stands for hottie.
And she's not going to live that down.
Live that down.
Apparently that's permanent now.
So Mo, what is it about country music that draws you? I mean, you obviously write in it, you sing in it, you love it. I mean, why country? Why not, you know, rock or pop or any of the other genres?
Well, I didn't pick country music. Country music picked me. I just tell people that I actually never tried to put a label on my music. I know I wrote a song called Country, but as I grew up and as I started kind of developing my craft and what I loved, and when I wrote songs just to see what came out of me, I tried not to put any boundaries on myself, but just listen to the things that I liked and also make music that I liked. As I started making music, I've never heard it called anything else but country.
So did you grow up surrounded
by that, I would
music?
Think, yes, my dad's a steel guitar player. My dad's a banjo player. And I grew up in a house that had closets stacked to the top full of records and CDs and cassette tapes full of bluegrass, country, good rock music, good, James Taylor and different types of real artistic music.
These days, of course, with
that I was always around.
The notion of actually growing up in a house with, you know, what are these cassettes and records of which you speak? You know, surely it's all MP3 downloads.
It.
You know, surrounded with a virtual
world. Some
people
don't know much about it. I know that at my house, and especially at my grandparents' house, I know of those little cassette holders that are on the wall. I don't know if you've ever seen those, where people, they drill up kind of shelves just for cassette tapes.
It's extraordinary.
To separate all their cassette tapes. I remember those things. I used to go pick cassettes out of that on my grandparents' wall and put cassettes into their players and listen to old bluegrass records and stuff like that.
So did you learn to play guitar early as well then?
Yeah, I learned how to play guitar when I was 12. My first instrument was actually drums, and I played in church, and I played around the house and stuff, but I didn't really get the bug of music until I was probably 12 or 13 when I started playing a lot more bluegrass music and learned how to play guitar, and that's when it really started to take off.
And also playing your guitar with a cast on your arm by laying a rag over your dad's guitar so it wouldn't get stretched. Yeah, that's
exactly.
That's
yeah,
to
that's
the
how
extent.
I started.
That's, you know,
yeah.
Above
I had
and
a black
beyond the calls.
Cast on it, but, yeah, I had a black cast on, and that's when I actually learned the Johnny Cash record. And I wrote with a silver marker on my cast, Cash. And I laid a rag over my guitar and learned how to play all pretty much all the licks on that record in one night. And I thought that I was just an absolute genius.
and we agree. Mo, let's move on to another classical piece of music here, Come Do a Little Life. I won't talk about my concerns about the English grammar being misused in that one, but, you know, would you like to share with us Come Do a Little Life? What are we about to hear?
That song I got to write with Will Nance and Byron Hill, and that song came out in about an hour. But we just got together, and the song actually comes from there's a guy that listens, one of my favorite, actually, Christian pastors,
in the United States. He's actually from Texas. He has this line about his church that let's do life together. And he says it a lot. And he said it about relationships and stuff. And actually, indirectly, a friend of my co-writer, Will Nance, who listens to this guy named Matt Chandler, told him that. And Will Nance came to me and said that I have this idea that I got from this pastor, who Will didn't know that it was my favorite pastor that said it. And he said, I have this idea called Come Do a Little Life with Me, or Let's Do Life, you know. And we ended up calling it Come Do a Little Life with Me, and it's more of a proposal song. And it just talks about, I really like you, and let's do this thing. You know, and it's just kind of a simple country boy way.
Mo,
you know?
Stay with us. I'm sure this will be providing advice for blokes up and down the land, really. Come, do a little life.
Oh, yeah. Come do a little life with me.
Back with us on Siren 107.3 FM, Come Do a Little Life. Mo Pitney there. Let's go to Patricia first. What did you make of Come Do a Little Life?
That is so sweet. I'm married, but I would say yes.
David.
And that was very, very nice. You have a very, very lovely smooth voice, sir. It's beautiful.
Sam Stone.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I thought it was really beautiful.
Looking good, Mo, you know. Yeah. But Christy can always throw in a completely different scenario, Christy.
And I'm not going to. I really liked it.
And Eva.
It's a very nice tune. I like it.
In fact, we'll probably give it a reprise tomorrow morning.
It's very upbeat. That's what I like to.
Very positive. Yes.
We feel as though we've done a little life with your good self, even though the doggies all died. I'm sorry, it just gets me all. Don't worry. It's all right.
We had to have something to bring us up.
Precisely. Precisely. Yeah. You know, we're not going
to forgive you now for that one.
Yeah, exactly. It's all great stuff. Mo, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, your midweek drive debut? Has it been okay for you, sir?
It has been. Thank you guys so much for having me.
A round of applause for Mo Pitney. Yay! He has performed at the Grand Old Opry, so I feel he's many ways the Grand Opry right the way through to Siren FM. It's
wow.
A big step way forward.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So will we be able to connect with you again in the very near future? Will you rejoin us, Mo?
I really hope so. I really hope that we can make it happen.
Mo Pitney will return.
Said I love the lie the love, hanging on with push.
The one.
Taken from the opening sequence to the Guy Ritchie man from Uncle Movie, Roberta Flack, and compared to what? Well, presumably compared to...
Time now for some more Weingarten Wonderment on the Midweek Drive.
Absolutely. Weingarten Wonderment, Arthur. That's the important thing. And let's face it, those episodes you did for The Girl from Uncle and The Man from Uncle, they stood the test of time, and whether it's the Danish smorgasbord, Danish blue affair, or indeed the thrush roulette affair with Michael Rennie, of course, from the fabulous movie The Day the Earth Stood Still and a whole heap of other things as well, you were at the heart. I mean, you presumably actually even spoke with somebody who gave thumbs up to the movie before he sadly passed into heaven himself, Norman Felton, the executive producer of The Man from Uncle.
Yeah, Norman certainly was, and he created it. I haven't seen the movie, nor do I plan to, but I read a review in the New York Times, which is rather scathing, about it. And I'm just amazed that there are, you know, obviously there's an untold amount of money that can pass hands to make a movie like this, $80 million or something.
I think
like
it's fair
that.
To say that the budget of the movie probably equates to the full four seasons of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. in terms of what they actually had on the TV scenario.
But, but multiply it by a thousand.
Yeah.
And you have no idea what the inflation is.
That's
beside the point. In the New York Times, the thing they kept playing at, and remember there is a generation gap between those who saw it on first run and worked on it to the people coming now. So there is a disconnect. But the series was tongue-in-cheek.
Mm.
The series was meant to be a send-up of things, and you were meant to have a good time, and the pulse would quicken a bit here and there, and the pressure rise, but you were meant to laugh at things, including the fact that nobody seems to talk about that the enemy, thrush, is an infant's disease of the tongue.
Yes. Arthur, just to qualify that thrush, of course, as we did our research on this, and it actually stands for technological hierarchy for the removal of undesirables and the subjugation of humanity. So that's for those of us who took the United Network Command for Law and Enforcement seriously, you know, like an ostrich, outrageous suggestions taken readily in courageous hands. And Patricia, I'm sure you'll appreciate the importance of acronyms. Thrush as not a disease, but as technological hierarchy for the removal of undesirables and the subjugation of humanity. It's serious stuff.
I remember when Norman showed us the pilot. In an MGM screening room, and we all were laughing when the name Thrush came out, because all of us, and I have to say this, there were no females in the room in those times. Mm. Very few female television writers. All of us were men, and we all started to laugh because most of us were of the age where we had babies, raising children. And thrush was a major problem because they kept you up all night,
yep.
The poor little things with
this.
So, yeah, we broke up, and Norman said, well, I've never forgotten mine. He was a bit older than we were. And he said, that's why I named it that.
Exactly. He says that childhood scenario. Sam Rolfe, of course, being, I think, the other co-creator of the series, which, again, Robert Vaughn, David McCallum, and again, looking at the movie, Alicia Vikander, ideally placed to take over the Stephanie Powers role of April Dancer, the girl from U.N.C.L.E., should they choose to do that. Again, if you go expecting the series, it's not going to be a series, but as a wonderful prequel to the series, works very well. I shall say no more, because I know Phil wasn't impressed last week, Phil Linus, but I was pleased. And after one of the movies I saw, which I can't even bring myself to mention, it's a lot better. Arthur, we've got a little quiz for you today. A little teeny quiz. Piece of music coming from a classic serial, which maybe even actually will bring in Sam Stone and David J. Howe and Patricia Ash, of course, and Christy Bond, and probably even McDonald. Let's see if you can identify what little classic this emerges from. Already jumping in, we've got David J. Howe. You know what you think it might be. Do you want to pass it a guess there?
I think it might be either the Flash Gordon or the Buck Rogers serials from the 50s.
Ooh. Arthur?
30s.
Arthur, any sort of advance on the...
I'm not even on the same planet with that fellow. I was going to try for a joke like the Brady Bunch or something.
No, it is not the Brady Bunch. But, David, well done. The 1939 Buck Rogers serial.
Wow, well done,
David. How good am I?
That fellow is dangerous. He should be put in isolation.
I often am.
Which brings us neatly round to a character who's been highly popular, and I cited it because I felt, actually, David, given that you just posted on that social media site, Facebook, that Erin Gray, of course, the Wilma Deering of the 1970s Buck Rogers, would be there. What about Constance Moore,
We talked about women in various. Constance Moore, the original Wilma Deering in the original serial.
Mm.
Back to 1939 with Buster Crabb.
Just way before my time, though. Way before my time. I saw those serials when I was a kid, and this would have been in the late 60s, early 70s. They used to have Saturday morning pictures at the local cinema. Mm. I don't know if they ever did this in America. But they basically, you go down to the local cinema Saturday morning, and they would show an episode of Buck Rogers or Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe.
Whatever. They'd show some kind of Disney Herbie film or something, and you'd throw popcorn at all your friends and be very screamy and everything.
Thankfully, people have got a lot more socially aware.
So I saw those serials first at those Saturday morning pictures.
We had the very same thing. Yeah. We would at Saturday matinees. Oh, it was packed. Of course, we loved that.
And I'm thinking,
I'll give you. You mentioned Buster Crabb. If I may, I can. I have just one tiny anecdote about Buster Crabb. I was at a charity event, and he was getting on in years and all that. And I had my feet out from under a table, and Buster Crabb, this great athlete, tripped over my feet and took a header with the thing. And he got up and he said, "Where's the camera? I have to smile."
And that's you see, I mean, Arthur, talk about the presence of greatness. You're singularly responsible for actually tripping up the man who portrayed not only Buck Rogers but also Flash Gordon and Tarzan.
Yes, he was my hero. I was mortified. These long legs sticking out, tripped up my hero.
I genuinely thought that this was going to be sort of one of the things. I thought you would have identified it straight away. You've gone straight for the whole system. Never mind, Arthur. Your next scenario is to hopefully sort of cast your critical ear. We're working very hard this week, but I feel, you know, after last time, because David's last show, when he fully anticipated to speak to your good self, Arthur, was marred by the fact that you could hear us. We couldn't hear you, or yes, vice versa. One of those two things. Back in the in the dreadful days where, you know, things didn't work. But there is a thing that we feature every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Usually it's just after the news at 5 o'clock. It's called the Drive Time Disc. Okay? Now, I have to warn you that after last week's excitement, which actually appeared on the Simon Mayo show on another radio station, I actually performed in the Edinburgh Festival yesterday. So that was a success. Ed Wellman, our managing editor, deputy, and various other wonderful person, I don't think he holds out a great deal of hope for this next group. So, you know, I don't want to sort of poison anybody's thoughts on what we're going to listen to. It's part of the whole thing. Obviously, Arthur, feel free to be as critical and as robustly honest as we know you will actually be on this particular number. I'll give you a little bit of background to the actual series. They're called Bars and Melody, and apparently they were finalists in Britain's Got Talent. Already Eva's folded her arms in a kind of defensive way. I'm not sure whether, you know, it's a sort of line on this or whatever is actually coming through from this. This particular number apparently are a duo. Obviously, one's called Bars, the other one's called Melody, who are known for their rap and singing abilities. Okay? I'm already beginning to get a little bit worried about this and not too sort of happy with respect to where we could conceivably be going for this. Not only for the fact that the computer seems to have actually sort of given up the ghost in trying to locate the whole sort of sequence. So...
Keep talking, Alex. Keep going.
It's the revenge. Yeah. It's the revenge of Come Dancing.
Well, clearly, you know. Now, the single itself is called Beautiful, which again could be a bit of a hostage to fortune, but you know, we'll see where things actually go with respect to this one. And I don't know. I mean, are we ready for this? I'm feeling
it's not Sheep. Then is it?
No, it's not Bars. Sheep. I mean, in fact, I was very.
I'll get me carried.
I see where you were going with respect to that one, but no, you know, and even that the computer's actually decided to spit out. I'm going to hold fire on this one. We'll take something much more wonderful, Arthur, and I will hand down this and I'll say, forget the wholesale system. Scheherazade, are you familiar with the concept of the storyteller and so on? Good, because there is a very talented young lady, and I say that quite deliberately, called Lindsay Gold, who's actually just produced a fantastic tune, which is it available for purchase as yet?
It will be soon. It's part of her album, which we've got another four songs to do. So this is
It's going to be wonderful. Assuming, as I say, the computer's not decided to say, what, where is it? Where are we going on this particular thing? No, it's all right. It likes Lindsay Gold. As what's not to like? Special to that also. Anyway, Sam, a little bit of background on this. No pressure, Arthur, but it's Sam's daughter here. But Sam, would you like to sort of share what we're about to hear now? So forget all I've just said about, you know, Britain's Got Talent and so on. It's a different line entirely. Go.
Now, this song is called Storyteller. And as Alex rightly said, it's based on the idea of Scheherazade as the storyteller. And we hope you like it.
Well, you can't go wrong there. I mean, you've taken gold there, you
well,
see.
Quite literally, Lindsay
literally
gold.
Quick-witted Sinbad and other details. I'll spin you half a story each night. I won't bow before your rage and might. I'm a storyteller, spreading words.
You see, bravo!
That was terrific, bravo! I have to say that also. Before another word is said, Alex, get in touch with Cubby Broccoli's daughter and have her listen to that for a theme song.
Yeah.
It is so down the alley for Bond, I can't tell
you.
That's
what we thought.
I think it's wonderful. Thank you.
And you cannot disagree with.
And you are. I don't know who you are, but you are very talented. I think.
Oh, thank you, Arthur.
So there we are.
Thank you.
The message
so
goes
much.
Out to yep. Lindsay Gold.
No, I mean that. I'm not. I'm not being kind because I'm not a kind person.
she loves to write songs that are stories. You see, Arthur. So that's one of them. And she's
No. First of all, I think you were brilliant in picking Scheherazade for that. You know, it's just a wonderful background. You could do anything with it, and what you did with it was just perfect. I really loved that, and I honestly mean this. You know, it's a long shot, but what the hell? Take it. You know, run with it. It's a theme music type thing. It's just terrific.
the message to Lindsay Gold from Arthur Weingarten. There we are. Get it to Cabby Broccoli's office straight away. Get it to Barbara Broccoli and indeed Michael Wilson.
We will do that. Thank you.
Yeah. And thankfully, as I say, even though we've managed to locate Bars and Melody, they'll come up later. Ease away from that. So it just shows the universe has its own mysterious way.
Yes, you see.
We were going to talk about sidekicks. We won't move too far down the line. But Patricia, any questions for Arthur Weingarten about, you know, his writing and all sorts of other sort of areas and things? Any thoughts you'd like to share?
I haven't really got anything now because my head is still full of that beautiful song we just heard.
Christy's got goosebumps. We're going to have to just Eva, did you enjoy Lindsay Gold?
I did. It was very beautiful. I liked it.
And Eva's taking a year out before she goes practicing her scales and her operatus as an arias. By the way, Eva, A-level results, there we go.
Oh, yes, it went well. Season above, so.
Hey, congratulations, there we are, well done. Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Yes, panicking wonderful.
There was a cliffhanger at the end of last Thursday's show. We were left with Eva's mother just on the telephone at the end of the actual show, and we just thought, I'm sure it'd be well, and that's basically it, really, so we just wanted to put that right. Because otherwise, cliffhanger endings, it's back to Buster Crab and all sorts of different things. Arthur, I'm going to ask Sam Stone to put those last two questions to you, because I think on behalf of her daughter Lindsay, you can to work through that and obviously double-check all sorts of other things. Go, Sam.
Oh, thank you. Arthur, have you had a pretty awesome time here tonight?
I certainly have. I must say, that song has resonated with me. I think I'm privileged to have heard it, really.
Oh, bless you. If that was a debut as well, it's not been played on the radio at all before. So.
Well, there you are. You see, I'm in on a first, so I like that. Yeah.
In that case, then, will you come back and speak to us again?
I will, but you have to give me another song.
We will. We promise.
It's all working perfectly. Arthur Weingarten, we'll return.